Bonjour et re-bienvenue sur le podcast de Sur deux roues. Cette semaine, un épisode un peu spécial en anglais alors qu'on reçoit Anthony de Rasputitsa. Cette année, c'est le 10e anniversaire de la célèbre course de gravel au Vermont et ils font les choses un peu différemment. Ils retournent aux sources. Le trajet va être un des trajets originaux de la course. Donc, on parle de tous les changements qui vont être apportés cette année afin d'éclairer les participants sur ce qui les attend. Avant d'aller plus loin, j'aimerais simplement rappeler que nous sommes disponibles sur Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts et à peu près toutes les autres plateformes imaginables de podcasts. Je vous invite à nous suivre sur votre plateforme préférée afin que l'on puisse être découvert. Récemment, j'ai eu une belle petite victoire alors que j'ai reçu un courriel me disant que j'étais dans le top 10 de la catégorie podcast cyclisme dans la francophonie. Alors, ça fait chaud au cœur. On continue dans la bonne direction. Merci beaucoup de nous écouter. C'est toujours un plaisir de voir les chiffres monter de mois en mois. Sur ce, sans plus tarder, on va aller avec notre invité.
It's always good to start earlier because once I think I was halfway through the podcast when I realized that I didn't start the recording.
Oh. Yeah, so, that's trouble.
Yeah, better start it earlier than later.
Yeah, for sure.
So you just said you went for a run.
Yeah, it was too nice. It's too nice not to go for a run today.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect weather, right?
Yeah, today it is. Where it's 67. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but it is
It's not too hot.
Not too hot. I actually wear a long sleeve.
That's amazing.
I've been coaching for the past couple of months, so my fitness is terrible. So I'm taking advantage of nice weather before the snow comes next week.
Yeah, that's always the balance between like being off bike or you know off training versus like being on a training schedule. It's always hard. Like I have the same struggle with the blog where I either blog a lot and don't ride my bike as much as I would like to, or I have to, I have the opportunity to ride a lot, but not blog a lot about it. So, I totally get it.
Yeah. I'm an office guy. So it's like, if I get that opportunity and usually I'm out every day, but, I've been coaching high school soccer. So this time of year, I work and then I go to practice and, you know, you're not running, you're standing. That's how it is.
Totally get it. I'm super happy to talk about, and it's always hard for me to pronounce it, Rasputitsa.
I think you're saying it just as well as we're going to say it. So
that's amazing. Yeah. My Ukrainian is a little rusty.
We got a message the other day, and this is it's nothing that we hadn't thought of. Like, so since you're recording, and I'll give you a little, you know, the history of the Rasputitsa was when we first started this 10 years ago. There's a lot of like Cold War history in the area with between like Burke and even across the border, like near North Troy, and. You know, there was a lot. So like Rasputitsa as a Russian word and being that Cold War history, it just kind of made sense. And that's what we went with, being the time of year and everything. It was perfect. So obviously when the Russians invaded Ukraine, and we immediately thought, all right, we got to change some of the verbiage, but we're not going to change the word because in a way it's still Ukrainian. Yeah. And we'll say it is because it was part of Russia at one point. So, but then we got a message this week, which is kind of a couple years too late at this point, about telling us we should consider changing the name. I'm like, you know, I think you're just a little behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
We just don't say, we try not to advertise about that Russian, but it's history, right? And so when we're talking about history, we don't ignore it. We learn from it, and it's still part of the community that happened. So that doesn't change anything.
Yeah. So, in French, we say, if I translate it, it's like a hot potato where you kind of.
Yeah, I'm following.
You just sit between two chairs. You know what I mean? It's hard to please everyone and respect history and all verbiage. So, yeah, I understand the struggle.
Yeah, we're not changing it. By the way, we're sticking with our name.
Yeah, cool. Because you know, it's always hard to change the name and rebrand, especially when you have a brand as strong as yours. I just truly believe that. And this is why I really wanted to talk to you today, because I think it's big in the community. It's on the bucket list of so many cyclists, and it's legendary.
Thank you. I mean, it's you know, when we started it, when Heidi and I kind of got into this, it wasn't to be something that, you know, was going to be part of someone's bucket list. It was because we, at the time, we were both working in the cycling industry. We loved it and just wanted to just continue that in an outside of a official work setting, and you know something that was racing, that was just fun. Alamanza was kind of going strong, and we loved that idea of you know, bringing people together, mass start, no real rules, quote unquote rules, but we all have, like, you know, there has to be, and you know, trying to bring just people together, mass start, everyone racing or riding and doing that, and that's kind of what we aimed for. And after we did, we started with actually a race called the Dirty 40, which was, we hosted that for 3 years. And it was Labor Day weekend. And, I, you know, as you're fully aware, that end of summer schedule just becomes tough. It became really hard for us to continue that. We didn't really see anything picking up. But within the 2 years of hosting Raspetitsa at the same time, that ride just, like, exploded for us. So we said, okay, we have a choice. We can have these two kind of, like, moderate races that are, you know, something that people will enjoy, but they're never going to be huge. They won't be, you know, something that people kind of skip over year after year. Or we put all our energy and all our effort into one. And that's what we did. That's what we did with Raspetitsa. And we put all our energy there, and you know, the rest is kind of, like, spoken for itself as far as how big the events become.
I think the fact that you chose, you know, early in the year and especially in Vermont and in the middle of the thaw, I think it makes it legendary, you know? Because, like, Labor Day weekend is just another ride during the year. Like, I mean, it's summer at that point. It's still summer at that point. So there's
exactly.
No big challenge. But I'm just thinking, and you know, I think what made it was already legendary because of the mud and the condition and the cold. But, you know, when we saw all the influencers, and I don't know if it was, like, intended to be a big year for you from an influence perspective, but 2019, you know,
no one will ever forget that year.
Yeah. That was a legendary one, and I think this is when people started to get a little scared of it, because of the snow, and it was extremely cold that year. I don't know if you want to talk about that edition a little bit.
So yeah, I mean, that obviously you pick a date, you pick a date a year ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so you don't know, you look back at just this past year, 2023, it was our partner that we brought in, Jeff Price, him and his wife went and they went and rode the course. It was like 2 weeks before, 2 weeks before Rasputin, or 3 weeks before Rasputin, and it was 85 degrees. And this is beginning of April.
Yeah.
So you can't pick the weather, and we have no idea. But we obviously aren't trying to get 85 degree hot weather for this race. It started the first year we did it in Newport, it was perfect. You know, it was that 40, high 40s. Snow was just starting to melt. The roads were saturated, so they were slow. They were, you know, boggy. The back roads were even worse. And every piece of pavement was the best thing in the world, because it's like you finally got a break and could roll on your bike. Those to us, that was like the best conditions that we could possibly ask for. So one of the big things that we always had to keep in mind because of the area is snowmobile dates, which end riders can on snowmobiles can go up until and through April 15th. So that's always been like a date for us, and we learned this the hard way. That's the date that we have to like kind of keep in mind of, we got to be on the other side of that, because if it's a great snow year, those trails could be open and they're going to ride.
Yeah.
April 15th, period. And that the first year we went to Burke, we had that. It was April 15th or something, and there was tons of snow. So we did this class 4 section, and wouldn't you know it, like snowmobiles are out. And we had contacted the local snowmobile clubs, and we talked to them about, hey, we're going to use this. Is this okay? And of course, they look at the date and they're like, yeah, no problem. There's no snow. Yeah, well, that pretty much sealed our fate that it was going to be snowy. But that kind of, you know, that gave us a chance to learn from that and say, all right, we have to be on the other side. 2019 came around. We're like, oh, right, this is a good date. We can pick this. And it just became everything that you wanted it to be. It was pouring rain, but hanging around that freezing point at the start. And there were, again, you can't do anything. People are lined up and they're like, you want to get them on the road, but at the same time, you got to be safe. And
yeah,
we got to spread people out because we have a couple of waves. But because of the elevations, it was probably what, halfway through the race, it turned to snow. So everybody's bikes were just seizing and the roads were wet. And so the mud and the ice would build up on the cogs and in the discs, and it's like nothing was going to work. I remember seeing people with both feet on the ground going down hills because the brakes were gone. Like it was one of those. And we had a rest area that was at the furthest point in the ride, and there was nothing around. And if you were there, you probably remember it. That's when we had the bus. We brought the bus out. We loaded the people on the bus, and just to keep them warm. People were doing whatever they could just to get warm, and they were shivering. And it's one of those you couldn't prepare for if you wanted to, unless you had extra 3 pairs of socks and gloves and, you know, a jacket that was absolutely 100% waterproof. You weren't going to be ready for it. There's no way you could do it. I remember, I think it was Lynn Bissett had like grocery bags, like the plastic grocery bags on her feet, and then had socks just to keep her feet dry. But everyone kind of did what they had to do just to kind of survive that. So it was an epic year. And we, Heidi and I thought, again, that was one of those years that, I'm like, this is it. That's it. It's over. No one's going to want to come back after that. And people could not wait to try again.
Yeah, that That's the crazy part because, like I said, I really wanted to register for 2019, but I don't know what I had that year, but I couldn't go. And there were a few influencers. So I think Jeremiah Bishop was there. The vegan cyclist was there. There were a few people, and they all posted on social and made videos and stuff like that. And I think it just like, it went like people thought it was always like that, which is not the case, but for most people, because it was like the one with probably the most PR around it, people thought it was like that. So every time I talk about Rasputitsa to friends and I post online about it, people are like, oh, this is the crazy race. And I'm like, well, I was there last year, and there was, I think, half a mile of mud, but otherwise it was not too bad. I mean, it was a little wet some places. There was, like I said, a little segment of mud, but otherwise it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of elevation. I mean, it's what, 60 miles? Is it 60 miles?
Yeah, that was we had the last year we had 100K, we had a 70K, and then we had the 40K. So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean you had it, you can't be in Vermont and not have 1,000 feet of elevation gain in 10 miles. Like it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's the reality. But the downside is you can't control what the weather is going to be like.
Yeah.
We hope for mud, we hope for wet because the challenge is the road conditions, and if they're dry and they're hard, then it becomes just another ride.
Yeah.
The Heidi and I started the conversation even before last year started of how do we keep, not to call the riders that participate customers, but they are, in a way they're a customer, right? And so you're trying to keep a customer happy. How do you keep that same person wanting to come back and finding new ways? Because if we're just a spring, another spring gravel ride and there's dry roads and it's just dusty, then there's nothing really captivating about
Yeah.
that, right? And so that's what we really thought of. And having a couple distances that made a difference. I think it gave people a chance to say, all right, well, I'm not gonna be that fit, but I can still ride, like I can ride 60K or
Yeah.
70K. Might not be able to do 100, but I can do 70. Or you know what? I'm gonna do 40 and ride with somebody who's never done anything like this before. And it became logistically challenging for me, but I think the courses were beautiful. I really loved them, loved doing those. But again, when we talked about what do we do for our 10-year anniversary, how do we bring people back? Jay Peak was just something that we had conversations a few years ago before COVID about trying to get there, and maybe it was just like we couldn't see it, we couldn't see how it would work. They've changed. The mountain has changed up there quite a bit, and the facilities have changed, and the accesses to through the resort have changed since that conversation took place. And I think when we really started to look at it this year, we said, I think we can make this work. The beauty of Jay Peak is it becomes more of a family-friendly environment. Like, if mom wants to ride and has the kids and dad's staying back with the kids, well, there's tons to do up there.
Yeah.
The beauty of it too is that there's no shortage of dirt roads. But we're going to scale back and just have that one course because it is a little bit different as far as like, you don't have these winding dirt roads. They can keep you in a small town for hours. Mm-hmm. We end up traveling through like five different towns in this proposed course for next year. But there's some, to your point, there's some really nice class four trails on the resort up near the mountain that will, I think, really bring that back, that feel of, oh, we're going for a hike and bike, or we got to get off and this is going to be muddy and this is going to be challenging. And this is what we remember. Regardless of if it's warm, it's still JP, and usually there's people still skiing and the chairs and tram is still open. So they're a little bit higher elevation that they have snow up that high, which works in our favor.
So we can expect mud next year.
You should be able to expect mud and snow for sure.
Yeah. Cool. And what else can we expect? So you said there will be one distance?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. By doing one distance, we've talked about this, and we're going to have a wave start. So as people register, we're going to dump them into different waves based off of we have a couple of questions that we're asking through registration is, you know, how fast do you see yourself going? And based off of that, we're going to seed people into five different waves so that they can descend the mountain in safe groups, because we're going to start at the resort and we're going to come through and get down off the mountain. And to have, you know, a lot of people do that at one time can be really tough. So we're going to do waves, but it also spreads people out a little bit and makes the front pack, you know, the people who really, really want to race, get them out in front so they're not trying to weave through a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. People who, you know, we can classify people who are going to ride a fat bike with them and let them all race together if they wanted to. It gives us a better balance of how to expect riders to come in and when they're going to finish. So logistically, it becomes a little bit easier. So you're going to see a little bit more of a breakdown with waves, and you're going to be racing the clock, not racing the people as much. You know, it's going to be a 50-50. So you don't know. There could be a sandbagger in the third wave, and you just don't know how fast they're going to go.
That's cool. And one question I had, and it may be a little dumb because this podcast will be live the day the registration opens, but
okay,
what will be the distance this year?
The exact distance will be determined the week of, but approximately somewhere around 55 miles.
55. Okay. And in terms of elevation, do we know approximately how much elevation
I think you're looking around the same. Like I said before, you know, you can't ride in Vermont, at least northern Vermont, without doing 1,000 feet of elevation gain every 10 miles. So it's really like, and that's just the reality of it. I'm not trying to make it tough. We're just on the roads. Like these are the roads. This is how it works. So
what else can we expect from the Green Mountain State?
You can expect some more class four. We're going to have two aid stations. So we're not going to like load up on aid stations. There'll be two aid stations. There's a little bit more pavement, but the segments of pavement, I think, really break up the amount of dirt roads that you have. And you'll find that those, you know, however long they are, whether they're 2 mile stretches, 3 mile stretches of some pavement, there's, you know, in the beginning you're on pavement, there's a stretch of, you know, a half a mile, there's a stretch of, that's like 3 miles, there's another stretch that's 2 miles. So you have a couple of places of pavement, but breaking up so much gravel will feel like the best thing in the world. You know, like it's just that, oh my God, I can pedal. I can just coast. I can take a break. So I think that's what you're going to see. There's going to be a lot more. We're really putting a lot of emphasis on having road marshals and safety on the course. That's one of those things that it doesn't change. The amount of safety that we want is always, you know, we hold ourselves to the highest standards with safety. But what you can't change is how somebody rides a bike.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll definitely emphasize in communications, roads are open. We don't close the roads. There's too much. It's too much distance, too many different towns. We're not closing a road. Towns aren't going to allow for it because you have people who are relying on that. So you have to obey the rules of the road. And people have to respect, the riders have to respect the roads that are on, the towns, the communities. That's a big piece of this. You know, we saw frustration in Burke because some riders would come in and, you know, it's easy to pick out people who are not nice when you have such a big group of nice people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes one or two to sour it. And it's what happens. You always have one or two that put a bad taste in the mouth.
Yeah.
So Burke itself is a wonderful community, and people should continue to go there and ride their bikes on the Kingdom Trails and the dirt roads. I think when it comes to our ride in 2024, you'll find that we're definitely looking at this as an event. Like Friday through Saturday night is an event.
Cool.
And that's what we want to have. And so there's things going on at the mountain, family oriented, go skiing if the kids are there, or if your wife and friends aren't going to ride, but you're going to ride and you bring a bunch of people. Well, there's skiing, there's the water park, there's clips and reels. So there's the ropes course and climbing walls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty to do. There's the pools, there's the hot, like, have at it, right? You can kill a day pretty easy at Jay Peak. I think that's one of the big benefits, and more lodging within the resort helps as well. So people won't have to be really shopping for where do I stay? Well, there's a lot of places. I think they have more beds than all of Burke.
Yeah.
So we're good in that aspect. But I don't think that there's anything shouldn't be unexpected in the amount of forethought that we put into this weekend, because we're still every single day, you know, our chat's going, and what do? Let's do this. Let's try this. And, you know, there's always creative ideas flowing and seeing logistically if we can do it. But again, it's an event, right? It starts Friday and we carry it right through Saturday night.
Yeah, that's one thing. I think that was my only comment last year, and that was not anyone's fault. I just think that, you know, in Burke, like you said, we're all spread around, and people are in cottages or at the hotel, or even, like, I've heard some people, like, were 25 kilometers away. So so it's hard to have this sense of community that we see at Big Red Gravel Run, for instance, where we are all camping at the same place for 3 days, you know. And also the weather, like, we cannot just go outside because at some point it's just so cold. So I really enjoyed, like, the expo last year. I had the opportunity to meet some amazing people, but also, like, find new products that I was looking for, to be honest. Like, I'm thinking Bevo, and I forgot the name of the electrolytes.
Plink.
Yeah. So that was great discovery, and I really enjoyed it. And the party at the end, that was also super nice. But I just feel like people were leaving earlier. But I think that, just like you said, at JP, because we will be able to, and the riders will be able to be at one site and enjoy the facility instead of being spread around, it will be easier for people to party a little more and just be all together as a community, right?
Yeah, totally. I think that's what we want to really make sure people are, you know, they can you can pretty much walk anywhere on that resort. Yeah, it might be a little bit longer of a walk from one side to the other, but there's shuttles, and so it's so easy to have everybody right there. And I think getting more people together and just the atmosphere will be much different. And that's what we look for. Burke, yeah, it's very limited on the space. It's a beautiful resort, and we did everything that we could to keep people engaged and keep people there. And we understand Saturday is always tough because people are tired, right? It's exhausting. Yeah. It's a long day on a bike. But we still want to make sure that it's people get the experience. So
cool.
I hope that we're able to continually replicate year after year, but bring something new and exciting to all those first time people.
Yeah. And I think that's the idea why I really wanted to invite you on the podcast, because last year I had the chance to be invited and have an extra pass for a buddy, and it was hard for me to find someone who really wanted to go because they thought it was too hard, they thought it was too cold, too early in the year, all excuses. And in the end, like, my experience was, it was great. Like, yes, it's a long course. Yes, it's a lot of elevation when you were only on Zwift for a little while. Yes, it's colder than summer rides. But I mean, the overall difficulty, it's hard. There's a little bit of mud, but it's so fun. I mean, the community, then there are the feed stations. I've never seen feed station like this. I mean, there are shots, there were beers, there was so much. It was fun. It was more of a party, and yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
And that's why we don't want to get away from the race aspect, you know, of that. It's a race. Let's, you know, whether you're racing against the clock, whether you're racing against yourself or your friends, we want to call it a race. We don't want to get away from that. But if you're still that person that's like, let's just go ride, let's have fun, we're going to finish, we're here for the entire weekend, that's the point. Like, I think it checks a lot of boxes, and that's the point. We didn't want to be just another race on the calendar that is show up at 6 a.m., get your bib, line up at 8, and then you're done and you're gone. That's not what we wanted to do. So it's Rasputitsa is an event, and it's, I hope that people start to see that, and that, you know, it, especially when we start talking, I know there's a lot of talk too about, I'm not on social media, but I listen to like Jeff and Heidi, and they talk about like, hey, we see these comments. There's a lot of talk about value. You know, we're trying to add value into what you get when you register for Rasputitsa. You know, you show up Friday night, we want you there from Friday afternoon until Sunday morning, having breakfast and still shaking hands and seeing people, and then, you know, maybe going out for a shakeout ride. You know, that to me, that's an event, that's a weekend. That's not just show up for this ride and be done. And there's only the expo while the race is going on. It is 3 days, or, you know, it's 48 hours of fun. That's an event. So that has a value to us. And that's what we're trying to bring, is that people understand that you're not, don't sign up for just the ride piece, because you're missing out a lot of other things. You're missing out on some really good people, you know, some really great vendors. And we have that farmer's market and people who are going to come and set up and show off stuff, the great bands that, you know, just come and listen, chit chat with people, and, you know, just be part of it. That's what we're trying to differentiate between us and the other rides, especially in New England.
Amazing. I think I hope listeners of this podcast hear you loud and clear on this one, because I totally agree with you. It's a fun event. It's unique, and hopefully listeners will be there this year.
Yes, let's hope so.
Cool. Well, I think that summarizes everything I wanted to talk about today. I don't know if you have anything you wanted to add before we call an end.
You said this isn't going to air till after a registration opens, so it's no point in pitching the registration time and day at that point.
Yeah, exactly. my goal is to post on November 1st this podcast.
Okay.
So registration opens today, and if you're listening later than November 1st, you can still go on the website and register for this amazing event.
I think that, you know, this, like I said, if you're kind of on the fence about coming for the weekend, making it to Rasputitsa, call up some buddies. This is the beauty of JPeak, is they have condos all through that resort that can host. They can host, you know, three people in a room, one person in a room, 10 people in a condo. Like, call your buddies, get a condo, make it a weekend, go for a bike ride. Don't race. Either way, you're going to get timed. It's going to be fun. And if it ends up being pouring rain or snow and you say, you know what, screw this, go to the water park, go to the climbing wall, go to the hot tub, I don't know, you know, like, just come out and be part of the event. I think that's what I want people to see, is be part of it.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, that's fun you mentioned this, because last year I think we were five people in one tiny cottage. There were people sleeping everywhere, like bikes and people sleeping, and you couldn't wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom because there were people everywhere sleeping. So that's part of, like, my best memory of the weekend is being like all a community in a tiny cottage. So so renting a room, that will probably be the plan this year, to rent a two people room and end up being six in the room.
Perfect. That's what it needs to be.
Cool.
Just let me know what condo, so I'm coming over, okay?
Yeah, sure. There will be a lot of Eddie Topper cans everywhere.
All right. I'll take the root beers, but I'll be there.
Cool. Well, thanks for your time. And good luck with everything, and hopefully we'll see each other at the next edition of Rasputitsa.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Jean-Philippe.
Cool. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Merci beaucoup de nous avoir écoutés encore une fois cette semaine. Ça fait un plaisir de parler avec des acteurs du milieu du cyclisme. N'hésitez surtout pas à liker et partager le podcast afin que de plus en plus de gens nous écoutent. C'est un plaisir d'avoir la chance de recevoir des acteurs du cyclisme chaque deux semaines sur le podcast. C'est encore plus un plaisir de voir que les gens aiment ce que l'on fait. Merci beaucoup.